I want you to open your Bibles with me this morning to the book of Luke. I'll be reading a passage of Scripture found in the 16th chapter of the book of Luke, verse 22 and 23. Luke 16, 22. Now, my message today is on this subject, what the rich man discovered in hell. What the rich man discovered in hell. Our Master said, "And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes." Now, if I understand anything about today's religion, I would say that it's characterized by four things. There are four things that characterize today's modern religion. First of all, the church has left its first love. Our Master said, "My house shall be called an house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves." You and I know that the church today is anything but a house of prayer. It's anything but a house of praise and a house of worship. The church today is a social club. The church today is a gymnasium, or has been converted into a school, or a cafeteria, or an entertainment center. It is anything but a house of prayer. It is not a house of worship nor praise. The church has left her first love, and therefore her reason to exist. Secondly, I would say that today's religion is characterized by this. The average pulpit is for promotion today and not preaching. The prophet Amos wrote, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, when I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread or a thirst for water, but of hearing the word of the Lord. Men shall wander from place to place, from north to east, from sea to sea, to seek to hear the word of God, and shall not find it." I ask you today, where is the preaching of the word of God? We have the finest buildings that money can buy. We have the finest buildings that architects can design. We have the most educated personnel in the world. We have the best in music. But where does a man go to hear the preaching of the word of God? The preaching of the gospel has been relegated to the scrap heap. Everything else in the world today is done from the pulpit except the one thing that Christ called us to do. He said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Paul wrote to young Timothy and exhorted him to preach the word. I would say the third thing that characterizes today's modern religion is this. The people are spectators, not participators, in worship, prayer, and praise. The scripture says, "Oh, come, let us bow down. Let us worship before the Lord our God." Let us bow down. Not let the preacher bow down. Not let the song leader bow down. Let us worship the Lord our God. And then he says, "Every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord." Most church attenders today are spectators. They're watching from the pews while professional religionists in choir, in special music, and in the pulpit entertain them. Most religionists today pay someone to study for them, to pray for them, and to somehow believe for them. We're in the day of spectator religion. And then I would say the fourth thing, and this leads me to the heart of my message. The fourth thing that characterizes today's religion is this. Today's religionist believes a part of the Bible, the part he likes, the part that appeals to him, and he puts a question mark on the rest of the Scripture. Now, God said in His Word, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That is, all Scripture is God-breathed. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. And Isaiah said, if they speak not according to the Word of God, it is because there's no light in them. But men today believe the Bible, they say. They mean by that they believe that part of the Bible which they like, and they reject the part they do not like. Men today believe in grace. but they certainly do not believe in sovereign grace. Yet our Lord said, I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. It is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. Jonah said, salvation is of the Lord. David said, the salvation of the righteous is of God and of him only. Men today believe in a fall, but not a total fall. They believe in sin, but not original sin. Men today believe in a Savior, not an effectual Savior. Jesus did a part, and our part you know. Sin left a crimson stain, but we washed it white as snow. They do not believe in the operation of grace, nor regeneration by grace, but they believe in cooperation with grace. Men today believe in God, but not the living God, not the Almighty God, not the God of creation, nor the God of Scriptures. Men today believe in heaven, but not in hell. Yet the Scripture says no Scripture is of any private interpretation. What does that mean, preacher? Well, it means this, that no verse of Scripture can stand alone or be separated from the rest of the Word of God. It all must stand together. You mean to tell me that I have to take all of the Word or none of it? That's exactly what I'm telling you. No Scripture is of any private interpretation. No man can have one verse of Scripture in Matthew and reject another verse in Mark. No man can have one part of Hebrews and turn down one part of Romans. No Scripture can be interpreted in the light of itself. It must be interpreted in the light of all of God's Word. And then I'll say this also is meant by that text, that no Scripture is interpreted by what we think. What we think it should say or what we think it does say. But the Scripture is interpreted in the light of what God Almighty has revealed. Now this Scripture that I read to you a moment ago, it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes. This portion of God's Word has been ridiculed, it has been debated, it has been argued, it has been denied. Somebody said this Scripture has been ridiculed by some, doubted by many, and avoided by most. But it is the Word of God. Not only the Word of God, it is the warning of our Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Listen to it again. The rich man died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes. Now, here we see an ordinary death. We understand that. We're used to that. This is something we're all acquainted with because all men die. Our friends have died. Members of our families have died. And we know that we too shall die. For the Scripture has said, it's appointed unto men once to die. And after that, the judgment. So this is an ordinary death. It says the rich man died. There's no problem there at all. There's no discussion and no debate and no argument. This is just another man, another son of Adam, another child of flesh who has died. We're acquainted with it. We understand it. And we agree with it. But listen, we go on. Here's a burial. Well, we've been there many times. We dig graves and we fill them with the dead bodies of men that we have known. We have journeyed many times after the cemetery and stood by the open grave and watched them lower a casket and then come back later and find that the grave has been covered with dust, even planted with grass and also flowers. So we know that men die and we know that men are buried. They're buried in the ground. They go back to the dust from whence they came. But it says, and in hell, and in hell. Now here's our problem. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes. The Lord takes us beyond death, beyond the grave. He takes us into hell. Our Lord opens up to us the revelations of hell. He lets us see what the rich man discovered in hell. Now I know this, the rich man was certainly not a believer here on this earth. But he hadn't been in hell very long till he became a believer. There are no unbelievers in hell. Our Lord Jesus Christ said he died, and he was buried by his friends and family and mourned over and grieved over, I'm sure. But then he takes us who believe the Scripture a step further and gives us a revelation of what this man discovered in hell. The first thing I give you is this. The rich man discovered in hell that death does not end all. It says, and in hell he lifted up his eyes. He died. He was buried, and. It doesn't say he died, he was buried, that's all. It says he died, he was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes. You know, I hear people speaking at funerals and at the bedside of folks who have just died, and I hear comments like this. I hear people say, here's a man who's been sick a long time, very old, very feeble, and he'll die, and someone will look up and say, well, his troubles are over. Well, perhaps his troubles aren't over. Perhaps his troubles have just begun. But that's what they say. Well, when he died, his troubles over. But the rich man found out that his troubles weren't over. He discovered that death is not the end. Death does not end all. I hear people say this. Someone has just died, and they come and they say, well, he's better off now, isn't he? Well, that depends. Not necessarily. He may not be better off. This man was certainly not better off. This man fared sumptuously. This man had all that his body or heart could desire. But in hell, he had nothing but suffering. So he wasn't better off. That wouldn't have been true in his case, would it? And then I hear people say, well, after someone has died, he's gone to his reward. Well, you may really be speaking the truth there. He's gone to his reward, the reward for evil, the reward for unbelief, the reward for rejecting God's truth, the reward for disbelieving the gospel. Yes, he's gone, all right, to his reward. But what a solemn, serious time it is. Someone else says, well, he's at peace. And they put on the tombstone, rest in peace. But my friend, there's no peace in hell. There's no rest in hell. Men do not rest in peace who go to hell. I ask this question that Job asked. If a man die, shall he live again? The Word of God says so. In Daniel chapter 12, verse 2, it says, those that sleep in the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and contempt. But they that sleep in the earth shall awake. Isaiah said in chapter 26, verse 19, the dead shall live. The dead shall live again. Together with my dead body shall they arise. John wrote this. In verse 5, about chapter 5, verse 28, the hour cometh in which all, saved and lost, believers and unbelievers, all, old and young, all shall hear the voice of the Son of God and shall come forth. It shall come to pass when all shall hear the voice of the Son of God, all that are in the graves, and they shall come forth. Now this man, like some of you, may not have believed in life beyond the grave. Perhaps there are those listening to me who say, well, I just don't believe in life beyond the grave. This fellow didn't either. But when he awoke in hell, he believed. He believed. He believed. But too late to redeem the hour. Too late to redeem the time. Too late to do anything about it. But the first thing that the rich man discovered when he awoke in hell was that there's life after death. The second thing that he discovered when he awoke in hell was this. He discovered that Almighty God will punish sin. Now the world says there is no hell. The universalist says there's nobody going to hell. Some people say, well, God's too good to send a man to hell. The Bible simply says the rich man died and was buried and in hell. No argument, no explanation, no logic, no picture, no debate. He's in hell. That's what God says. The Bible very plainly states what it says. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. No argument, no debate, no proof. Just stating facts. And here it does not argue with you about hell. You say there is no hell. God's too good to send a man to hell. Nobody goes to hell. The Bible just says, the rich man died. He was buried and in hell. He found out in hell that God punishes sin. The holy God of heaven will deal with sin. Either on Calvary, in the person of His Son, Jesus Christ, or in hell. God will punish sin. He says He will in no wise clear the guilty. He says the soul that sinneth, it shall die. He says the wages of sin is death. The holy God of heaven will deal with sin, either on Calvary in the person of His Son, or in hell, body and soul, in the person of everyone who has despised His grace. Adam discovered that God will punish sin. He discovered it in Eden's garden. Pharaoh discovered that God will punish sin. He discovered it in the Red Sea. The world discovered that God will punish sin. They discovered it in the flood. Sodom discovered that God will punish sin. They found it out in the plains. Israel discovered that God will punish sin. They learned it in the wilderness. The rich man discovered that God will punish sin. He learned it in hell. Now, we can learn these truths either from the Word of God or from experience. I'd much rather learn them from the Word of God. We can learn these truths from the gospel that is given to us in Christ Jesus our Lord, or we can learn them under the lash of God's angry whip throughout all eternity. This man discovered there's life after death. He discovered that Almighty God will punish sin. Now, thirdly, he also discovered that hell is a place. It is a place. It is not the figment of some preacher's imagination. It is a place. It is not some strange person's fictitious writings. It is a place. And it's a place of eternal suffering. I know that preachers throughout the years have made much of what they call literal fire in hell. It may be. I do not know. That's not my subject today. I don't know whether there's literal fire in hell or not. But this man discovered something about hell that I say is worse than fire. First of all, he discovered that hell is a place of suffering. He cried out, "Father Abraham, send Lazarus that he may dip his finger in water and touch my tongue. I'm tormented. I am tormented in this flame." Whatever the flame is, it was a flame of torment. If it was from within or from without, it was a time and a place of suffering, great suffering. Secondly, he found out that hell was not only a place of suffering, but a place of memory. Memory which added to his grief. You know, memory can be pleasant, but memory can be most unpleasant. And when this rich man cried, "Father Abraham, send Lazarus to minister to my needs," he said, "Son, remember. Remember that on the earth you had your good things. Now you're tormented. Son, remember." I believe a man's going to remember every ray of sunshine he ever saw. I believe he's going to remember every drink of water he ever took. I believe he'll remember every bite of precious food he ever ate. I believe he'll remember every song, every pleasant, beautiful song he ever heard. I believe he'll remember every verse of Scripture he ever read, every prayer that was ever offered in his behalf, every gospel sermon he ever heard. He'll remember everything about this earth. And that memory will be tormenting to him. It'll add to his grief. It'll be one of the sources of his greatest suffering to remember that he despised the very things that could have delivered him from his present agony. Memory. And then he discovered that hell was a place where truth is realized too late. I said earlier, there are no unbelievers in hell. I'm confident of that. There are no unbelievers in hell. Everybody in hell knows there's a hell. Everybody in hell knows that Jesus Christ is the only Savior from sin. Everybody in hell knows God will punish sin. Everybody in hell knows that Christ died on the cross to save sinners. Everybody in hell believes every word of God's Word now. This man said, "Father Abraham, I've got five brothers on the earth." Well, he wasn't concerned about him when he was on the earth. "Send Lazarus back to warn my brothers." He wasn't concerned about the warnings of men he heard while he was here. "Send them back to tell them about this awful place that they come not here." They told him about that awful place, but he wouldn't listen to them. Hell is a place where men finally learn the truth, where they learn it too late. Truth is realized. Truth is received too late. And then hell is separation from God. Judgment. Our Lord said, "Depart from me. Depart from me." That's what he said. That's the awful sound. "Depart from me." It's not just the punishment of hell or the agony of hell. It's separation from God. God is love, no love in hell. God is light, no light in hell. God is truth, no truth in hell. God is peace, no peace in hell. God is rest, no rest in hell. God is mercy, no mercy in hell. God is fellowship, no fellowship in hell. All of these things that God is, hell is not. It's separation from God. And then he discovered that hell is forever. Abraham said, "Son, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed. And no one can pass from you unto us, and no one can pass from us unto you." Let that be remembered. Anytime you hear a sermon on second chance after death, purgatory, praying somebody out of hell, or any subject on this, any sermon on this subject, our Lord said, the words of the Master himself, as he spoke through Abraham, between us and you, a great gulf fixed, a great separation. No one can pass from you unto us, and no one can pass from us unto you. It's fixed. So he discovered that death does not end all. There's life after death. He discovered that God Almighty will, certainly will, and always has, punish sin. He discovered that hell is a place, an awful place of torment, a place of agonizing memory, a place of separation from God, a place where truth is realized too late, and hell is a place that a man will abide forever and forever and forever and forever. And then he discovered this. He discovered that Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation. And that message is delivered to men by the ministers of the gospel through the Word of God. So when Abraham told him this, between us and you there's a great gulf fixed, and no man can come to us from you or go from us to you. He said, well, Father Abraham, send Lazarus back from the dead. Send him back to earth. Raise him from the dead and send him miraculously back to earth in a sensational way. And my brothers will listen to him. And Abraham said, well, they have Moses and the prophets. In other words, they have the Word of God. The Word of God's preached where your brothers live. The Word of God's preached on earth. The Word of God's proclaimed. He said, nay, they won't hear the Word. They won't listen to the preacher. But if one rose from the dead, they'd listen, they'd believe, and they'd be saved. Abraham said, if they won't hear the Word of God, if they won't hear what God has said to them through His Word, they won't believe though one rose from the dead. My dear friend, if Lazarus had risen from the tomb, what could he tell the people on this earth more than God has told them in His Word about death and about judgment and about sin? What more could, if Lazarus came back to the earth from the dead, you know what he'd preach? He'd preach that man's a sinner. He'd preach that man's unable to save himself. He'd preach that Jesus Christ was sent into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. He would preach that Christ died on that bloody cross to redeem us from our sins. He would preach that He buried and rose again as our scapegoat and justifier. He would preach that He's ascended to the right hand of God, where He's our mediator and high priest. And we have the right and privilege to come to God by Christ. He would say that Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. That's what Lazarus would say. He couldn't tell you any more about sin than God tells you in His Word. Not as much. He couldn't tell you any more about death than what God has told you in His Word. Men will die. They'll be buried and they'll wake up in hell. That's what God says, and that's what Lazarus would say. Lazarus couldn't tell you any more about Christ than the Word of God tells you. He didn't know any more about Christ than the Word of God proclaims, for that's where he got his information, from the Word of God. Sensationalism doesn't say you could raise one from the dead or raise a dozen from the dead, and men will not believe. To prove that, our Lord rose from the tomb, and they didn't believe Him. He came back from the grave and stood and preached to people, and they still denied it. In fact, the Pharisees, when they found out that Christ had risen from the tomb, they said to the soldiers, now, you tell everybody that His disciples came and stole His body away, and if they give any trouble, we'll lie to the governor, we'll do whatever we can to cover up this resurrection. We don't believe it, and we don't want anybody else to believe it. He discovered that Christ is the way of life. Sensationalism won't save. God saves men by faith in Christ as they hear the Word of God. Let me briefly give you two or three more things. This man discovered in heaven. He discovered, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? I've preached that to you. Other men have preached it to you. He found it out. It's true. What shall it profit a man if he gain the world and lose his soul? He discovered this. The wages of sin is death. He discovered it. He found it out personally. He discovered this. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God without a mediator, without a redeemer, without a high priest, without a blood atonement. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. And then he discovered this. The fashion of this world fadeth away. Now there's so many of you who are listening to me who are giving all of your time and efforts and in everything you have to the things of this earth. This is where your affections are. This is where your concern is. This is where your time is spent, in the things of this earth. You've got a family circle. You've got a nice home. You've got an automobile. You've got a good job. You've got social circle. You've got friends. You've got entertainment. You've got hobbies. You've got all of these things. And this is your life. You've got no time for God, no time for His Word, no time for Christ, no time to seek the Lord. Let me warn you. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the time draws near when you'll say, I wish I had. I wish I had. That's what this man is saying. He found out that the fashion of this world fadeth away. Naked he came into this world and naked he went out. He found out that the wages of sin is death. He found out it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God.